Greetings. This message may seem strange because the first 13 minutes I recorded at the church and the last half of the sermon I recorded at home because somewhere along the line I managed to push the stop button in the recording, and so I wanted to end off the message just recording it at home. So, Lord bless you.
Well, turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 5. Once again, it's a very, very long passage, and time precludes me from reading it in advance, but I'm going to be reading it, most of it, while we're going through the message today. But I did print some notes available because it's a long message, and I hope there's some still at the front there, and you're able to follow along what I'm speaking about. Jeremiah, friends, in chapter 5 is dealing with a society that had rejected God. You know, when God had established the nation of Israel, he established it as what is known as a theocracy. He was their God, and people were meant to listen to him as the prophets spoke through the priests and the prophets spoke to the leaders. They would lead the people through God. A little bit later on, they rebelled against that and they wanted their king. And then they appointed, remember, Saul first and then David and then Solomon and then a whole lot of other kings. But God warned them when they wanted Saul that at some point in time they would reject him. And they were getting to this point in their lives. And in some ways, friends, we've even got one step further. Because we've developed a system we call democracy. And democracy, the definition of democracy is rule by the people for the people. God's totally excludes it out of our government anymore. Rule for the people by the people. The sad reality, friends, is that even in education, God has been kicked out of education more and more. I can remember when I was young, at the end of the term when we were leaving the school, we would always sing that song, "No more teachers, no more books, no more teachers, dirty looks." Remember singing that song when you were young? Now, young people, they just stand in front of the teacher and swear at them and hit them. And the reality is, friends, you know, we used to do that behind the teacher's back. We would never say that in front of them. But now, authority has gone out the door, friends. In the family, in recent years, we even hear stories of children who are divorcing their parents. That's where we've got to at this point in time. And the sad reality is, even in the religious organizations, why have the number of denominations grown from about 10 to about 400 or 40,000? Simply, friends, because the minute you don't want to have somebody over you in authority, you start your own organization. And you become your own boss. And you're accountable to nobody. Because in the end, you're only accountable to yourself. The sad reality is, friends, we're living in a society that's rejected God. And in chapter 5, verse 5, Jeremiah says this, "So I will go to the leaders and speak to them. Surely they know the way of God, the requirements of their God." But listen to how he ends that verse. He says, "But with one accord, they too have broken off the yoke and torn off the bonds." Jeremiah's prophecy, friends, was to society, even a society called by God, established by God. Jeremiah says the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah have thrown off God. They're no longer accountable to him. And so I've called this message, friends, the calamity facing those who've rejected authority. Because Jeremiah, friends, reminds us of the danger of us rejecting God's authority. First of all, we need to see the characteristics of a society that rejects authority. Jeremiah says there's a decline in standards. Look at verse 1 and 2. Go up and down the streets of Jerusalem. Look around and consider. Search through her squares. If you can find one person who deals honestly with the truth, I will forgive that city. Although they say, as surely as the Lord lives, still they are swearing falsely. Friends, God is looking for people with authenticity, looking for people with integrity. And even though the nation of Israel, friends, were saying, well, we're still following God, God says, show me one person in your city that's got authenticity and integrity. It's a society, secondly, friends, that repeats the same mistakes. Verse 3, Lord, do not your eyes look for truth? You struck them, but they felt no pain. You crushed them, but they refused correction. Friends, you know, the first sign of madness is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting the same result or a different result. That's what's been happening, friends. We're living in a world that's been doing the same thing over and over again, and we think students should be getting better, but they're not, friends. We're not learning from the mistakes of the past. How many times, not only as a society, but us individually, how many times do we have to make a mistake before we realize God's actually speaking to us, wanting us to change? Thirdly, third characteristic of a society that rejects authority is false worship. Verse 7, Jeremiah writes from God, why should I forgive you? Your children have forsaken me and sworn by gods that are not their gods. A few years ago, there was a wonderful talk by, I think it was David Wilkinson, on the subject of the three chairs. The illustration he used, friends, is that if you are a believer and you sit in the first chair and your child sits next to you, your wish would be to pass on your faith to your child. The problem is, if the child does not make your faith their own faith, they don't pass it on to the next generation. So the first chair is great. We love the Lord. We serve the Lord. But if we haven't given that heart to the next generation, and if they haven't caught the vision of who God is, friends, the sad reality is they're unlikely even to talk about it to the next generation. And in two generations, friends, we have false religion. What's happening in the world, friends, today? That's the reality. Societies have rejected God. Number four, fourth sign of a society that's rejected God is sexual deviance. Look what it says, verse 7, second part of it. I supplied all their needs, yet they committed adultery and thronged to the houses of prostitutes. They are well-fed, lusty stallions, each named for another man's wife. Just a little bit of research last night, yesterday afternoon as I was preparing. And this is what I discovered. Research shows that somewhere between, I looked at a number of different websites, research websites, somewhere between 4 and 12% of all the websites on the internet are pornographic websites. somewhere between 4 and 12. But you know that although there are only between 4 and 12% of them are actual websites, 30 to 40% of all internet traffic on any given day, friends, is geared towards looking at pornography. 40% of the world in which we're living in. That's the sad reality. The sad reality is, friends, in the research into pornographic sites is 80% of all of the pornographic websites portray women being hurt, women being abused as part of what is normal sexual behavior. That's the world we live in, friends. It's no different from Jeremiah's world. It's just easier for people to do it these days. The fifth sign of a society that have rejected God, friends, is found in verse 12. And it's a sign that people have either false or no religion. Look what Isaiah says. They have lied about the Lord. They say, God will do nothing. He won't harm us. We'll never see the sword or slaver. The prophets are but wind, and the word is not in them. So let what they say be done to them. Friends, if you know the truth, you should practice what you preach. Jesus makes it clear, many will come to me in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. In chapter 24 and verse 11 says, many false prophets will appear and deceive my people. In John, Jesus says, you belong to my father, the devil, and you do you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Friends, that's false religion. There are many people making promises that they can't fulfill. The health and wealth, prosperity movement, friends, make promises that cannot be kept. Because God doesn't promise health and wealth to everybody. The only people who seem to be getting health and wealth from the health and wealth teaching are the teachers of the health and wealth teaching, not common people. Friends, false religion is growing. Atheism in our own country in the last 10 years has grown from 2% to just under 20%. People who declare themselves as atheists. That's the world in which we're living in, friends. The final picture of a society that's rejected God, friends, is a society in which the weak are oppressed. You want to see a society, friends, that's rejected God? It's a society, friends, where people who are battling are kept under all the time. Look what it says. Their evil deeds have no limit. They do not plead the case of the fatherless to win it. They do not defend the rights of the poor. Not a pretty picture, is it?
As we continue thinking about the subject of the calamity facing those who reject authority, let me remind you that the characteristics of a society that reject authority are a declining in accepted standards, a repeating of the same mistakes, false worship, the reality of sexual deviance, false or no religion, and we ended off that section with reminding ourselves that a society that has rejected God is one who oppresses the weak. Well, as we continue to consider the subject of the calamity of a society that rejects God, I want to remind us of some of the causes of a society that rejects God. And we read in this passage, the first one is that it's a lack of biblical knowledge. Jeremiah writes, I thought, these are only the poor, they are foolish, for they do not know the way of the Lord, the requirements of God. Friends, the sad reality is that the understanding of Bible knowledge is just declining as the years go by, and the sad reality is it's not being taught in our schools anymore. People are not taking their children to Sunday school, so biblical knowledge is just fading over and over again. But even those that do have been exposed to biblical knowledge are rejecting it. Jeremiah carries on. He says, so we'll go to the leaders and speak to them. Surely they know of the Lord, the way of the Lord, the requirements of God. But with one accord, they too have broken off the yoke and have torn the bonds. Sad reality is, friends, it's pretty commonplace for people to have rejected God today. Even although they may know the word of God, we're living in a world, friends, that is certainly rejecting God. And then the third cause of a society that rejects God is sinful behavior. Jeremiah writes, your wrongdoings have kept these away. Your sins have deprived you of good. Among my people are wicked men who lie in wait, like men who snare birds and like those who set traps to catch men. Jeremiah uses three different words to define sin in these two verses. The first one is arwen, and the word literally means to go away from God, to wander away from God. People who have kind of know the ways of God but have just drifted slowly and slowly away from God. The sad reality, friends, it's not talking about those who weren't believers at some point in time. This is really, it literally means to wander away from God. This is pointing to a society that where even believers are drifting away from God. And then the second word that's used, that Jeremiah uses, the word, Hebrew word, hatah, which means falling short of God's standard. And the sad reality is, friends, that's happening over and over and over and over again. People know the Ten Commandments, but the Ten Commandments are just being rejected, let alone the teaching of Jesus and the Beatitudes and in other parts of the Gospel. People keep on falling short of the standard that God has set. And the final sinful behavior that causes people to turn away from God, the Hebrew word is the word rasa, which means just wickedness. And the word simply means to be bent out of shape. It's like when you've had an accident, your car is bent out of shape. And that's what people are riding, what they're doing today. They're riding in bodies and in attitudes that are bent out of shape. No wonder, friends, we're living in a society that rejects God. The third thing Jeremiah deals with in this passage, friends, are the characters in society that reject authority. Who are these people that are rejecting authority? Well, we may think we may have the answer, but Jeremiah's got a different one. First of all, he says it's the poor. Verse 1, he says, these are only the poor, they're foolish, but they've rejected God. In verse 5, he says it's the rich. Jeremiah says, I'll go to the leaders. Let's see if they haven't rejected God. And he discovers they haven't rejected God. We may think the children are innocent, but in verse 7, he says, your children have forsaken me. And in the end, he says it's everybody. Verse 27, like cages full of birds, their houses are full of deceit. They have become rich and powerful. They have become fat and sleek. Friends, doesn't matter. The rich and the poor and the fat and the thin. Basically, Jeremiah is saying all are rejecting God. But the worst of it all, friends, is not only have people rejected God, but God's supposed leaders have rejected God. Verse 31, he says, the prophets prophesy lie, the priests rule by their own authority, and my people love it this way. One just has to look at the massive increase in different church organizations in our world, friends. The minute you don't like somebody who's got authority over you, you just start your own church and you become your own boss. And friends, that's the sad reality. Accountability to each other kind of just has been rejected all the time. Nobody wants to be accountable for their sins any longer. So, fourthly, what are the consequences of a society that reject God? Well, Jeremiah says, judgment is coming. Verse 6 says, therefore, a lion from the forest will attack them. A wolf from the desert will ravage them. A leopard will lie in wait near their towns and tear to pieces only anyone who ventures out. For their rebellion is great and their backsliding many. Who is this lion? Friends, it's none other than Jesus himself. He's coming as the judge at the end of time. And we need to understand that we're all going to be judged by God. But once we're judged, friends, the next consequence of a society that rejects God is severe punishment. Listen to what he says in verse 14. Therefore, this is what the Lord God Almighty says. Because the people have spoken these words, I will make my words in your mouth a fire, and these people the wood it consumes. House of Israel, declares the Lord, I'm bringing a distant nation against you. They will devour you, your harvest. They will devour your sons and daughters. They'll devour your flocks and herds, devour your vines and branches. The sword, they will destroy the fortified cities in which you trust. Friends, Israel faced extreme punishment. They were ravaged as a society because of their rejection of God. Don't think we who reject God or those who reject God are going to face any less of a punishment. Friends, that's one of the consequences of rejecting God. But the saddest reflection of a society that have rejected God is despair. Verse 31 says, the prophets prophesy lies, the priests rule by their own authority, and my people love this way. And then the final word says, but what will you do in the end? Friends, that's the consequence of society. The consequence of society, friends, is a society that is hopeless. What will you do in the end? Friends, we're living at a time when we have a society that has certainly rejected God. We've seen the characteristics of a society that rejects authority. We've seen the causes of a society that rejects authority. We've seen the characteristics of a society that rejects authority. We've seen the consequences of a society that rejects authority. But friends, Jeremiah, the Lord never ends off just with pointing out the problem. He always gives us the solution. And so finally, in this passage, we see the correction needed by a society that rejects God. What do we need to do, friends, to get back to the ways of God? Well, Jeremiah reminds the Israelites, the first thing we need to do, friends, we need to acknowledge there is only one God. Verse 20 of the passage says, announce this to the house of Jacob, proclaim it to Judah. Hear this, you foolish and senseless people, who have eyes but do not see, who have ears but do not hear. Should you not fear me, declares the Lord? Should you not tremble in my presence? I made the sand a boundary for you, an everlasting barrier it cannot cross. The waves may roll, they cannot prevail. They may roar, but they cannot cross it. Friends, Jeremiah is reminding Israel, God is the creator. There is only one creator. There is only one God. Regardless of the fact that people kind of try and create God after God and try and make, replace God, friend, there can only be one God. The very word in itself defines it in that way. God is God. There is no other like him. And the sooner we society recognizes that, friends, the sooner we can get back to worshipping him. The second thing we need to do to correct a society that rejects authority is we need to practice godly cleansing. Verse 9 Jeremiah writes, "Should I not punish them for this, declares the Lord? Should I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? Go through her vineyards and ravage them, but do not destroy them completely. Strip off her branches, for these people do not belong to the Lord." Friends, Jesus said the same thing in John chapter 15. Jesus said, "I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful." Friends, we need to practice some cleansing. We need to get rid of that which is distracting us away from God. We need to cut off those that are false prophets. We need to cut off the false teachers. Friends, we need to make sure that we're dealing with people who are living in a godly way, in a glorifying way. But finally, friends, the correction we need is we need to receive God's grace and mercy. The only way society can survive, friends, if God is gracious and merciful to us. Listen to what it says in verse 18, Jeremiah writes, "But even in these days, declares the Lord, I will not destroy you completely. O mercy and grace." What a wonderful thing that God does for us, friends. The only way, friends, we can correct the society is acknowledge that God is God. And we need to rule, he needs to rule, and we need to bow the knee to him, friends. We need to begin to practice that reality that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Friends, we need to begin to deal harshly with sin. Sin has infiltrated the church in so many ways, and we need to put it aside. But in the end, friends, we just need to depend on the mercy and the grace of God. Jesus says, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. No man can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in me. Neither you can bear fruit by yourself unless you remain in me." Friends, the answer to society that rejects God is a people that are obedient to God. Obedience is the opposite of rebellion. Submission, friends, is the opposite of rebellion. Friends, we need again a society to be a church that shows the world around us what it means to live obediently to the call of God. Lord, bless you. May our society change, Lord. May we be the agents of change in our society. Bless you as you go into the rest of this day and in this week. Commit to you in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you can change this world. Help us, Lord, to be the agents of change. Help us to live obedient lives so that we may have a society that doesn't reject you. Help us, Lord. We need revival, and we wait upon your grace and mercy to send it to us. In Jesus' name we ask that. Amen.